going to read a few things and then we'll pray. My name is Eric Zukowski. Most of you know that. I came here to church about 2005. I just brought Jesse the other day. Thursday night, we went on a motorcycle ride. We went soul winning on motorcycles. That was fun. And we went down to Dunmore, where there was a little church called Dunmore Open Bible Church. That's where we went when we were kids, me and my dad and my sisters. There was a fella in that church. When that church closed down, he told my dad, he said, whatever you do, go to whatever church you want, but do not go to Scranton Revival Baptist Church. So guess where my dad brought us? Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And we would sit right in the back where that sound booth is now. Where we sat is hallowed ground. They had to remove the seats. We did so bad to them. So that's where we sat, where that booth is right there. And we would pay attention sometimes. We'd fool around sometimes. I was about 14 when we first came, maybe 15. And I remember growing up in the church here. I got saved in 2007, 17 years old. God's been good to me. My wife and I got married. I was 18. She was 17 when we got married. We're going on 18 years now of marriage. In October, 18 years of marriage. My son is going to be a senior this year. My daughter's going to be a senior in high school this year. They're fixing to go to college. We're having a great time. We're having a great time. Anybody tells you serving the Lord is boring, they're idiots. Run them over. I mean, God bless you. I'll do it. I'll loan you the car. I'll take the hit for it. Serving the Lord is the best thing in the world. I was Satan's kid for 17 years. Now I'm God's kid. It's been fantastic. It's been fantastic. I love the Lord. I love being in His will. I was about 17, and I was driving. There was only one thing I drove for back then. It was to see Alicia. I was 17. She was 16. She lived in Waverly. I lived in Scrantonly. And I would would borrow her grandma's car. And grandma would leave the keys in the mailbox. So I would sneak there in the morning. They would know I'm coming. But at like 5 in the morning, I'd wake up, I'd go get the keys from the mailbox, and I would take Grandma's car, and I'd drive up to Waverly to see Alicia. And I loved seeing Alicia. I mean, she's still my favorite. Sometimes she would come to town in Scranton, and only for like 30 seconds. She's like, listen, I'm going to be here for like 30 seconds. And I would walk all the way past the Taylor Walmart just to see her for 30 seconds. And then she'd go. One night, I was at her house, and I had Grandma's car. And I'm getting on Layton Road, and all the roads around there, there's like 45 miles an hour, 35 miles an hour. Some of them are 25. I didn't know they were 25. So I'm driving about 45 miles an hour down Layton Road, and I looked around and I thought, I could go 50. I could go 55. I think the speed limit here is 45, so I could go 10 over and I'll be just fine. And then somebody started playing these Christmas lights behind me. And the car behind me, red and blue lights are flashing. I mean, good night. I had to pull over. It wasn't Santa Claus. It was a police officer. He pulls over, and I'm scared to death. It's the first time I got pulled over. I had one of those licenses that are up and down because I'm not even 18 yet. You know, a straight up and down little license. He pulls me over. He tells me to roll the window down, and I'm having a hard time rolling the window down. I rolled the window down. I was so drunk. I'm just kidding. I woke some of you up. No, I'm not. I never drank in my life. God's blessed me, kept me from that. But I was driving too fast. The guy pulled me over. He said, you know how fast you were going? I said, about 50. He said, you know what the speed limit is here? I said, 45. He said, 25. 25 times 2 doesn't sound like a big equation to me, not that big a deal. So he says, let me see your license and registration and proof of insurance. And I reached into my wallet and I pulled out my license and I'm like this. Here, sir. Where's the registration? And I reach into the glove box and I'm looking through every paper. It's not my car, it's my wife's grandma's car. I'm looking through every paper. I got no idea what a registration is, let alone where the registration is. Proof of insurance? I don't know. About 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by, and this guy, he is laying into me. He's letting me have it. You're a mess. You don't got your proof of insurance. You're going 50 miles an hour. You don't have your registration. What are you doing? I don't know, sir. And boy, he let me have it. Can I tell you something, folks? You read through the Bible, you read through especially the letters from Paul, and he lets people have it sometimes, doesn't he? You go to the book of Galatians, and Paul goes and says, "You foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should believe a lie?" The entire book of Galatians is basically Paul saying, "You did this wrong, you did this wrong, you're running your church wrong, you're preaching wrong, your doctrine's wrong." And he's helping them, but he's laying into them. But do you know something? That same Paul that could rip faces off when he writes, that same Paul that could rip you up when he preaches, that same Paul is able to take time to praise his workers and fellow laborers. And that's what I want to do this afternoon. My sermon title is called Song of the Servant. The Song of the Servant. Take your Bibles. I want you in Romans 16. I'll get there in a moment. Romans 16. I'm going to read a couple other scriptures on the way there. Philippians 4, verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." He's talking about some folks here that helped them. He's talking about some women here. He's talking about some men. Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which for always dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." 2 Timothy chapter 4, 19, Paul says, "Salute Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeted thee, and Pudens and Linus and Claudius and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Romans 16, that's where y'all are at. Look at verse 1 and following here. Here Paul says, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centria, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who were of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. Instachus, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' house." Aren't you glad you don't have names like this? I mean, good night. I got named Eric. My wife is Alicia, and all my kids are simple. Luke, Lily, Anna, Sarah. None of these weird names that some kids have. I mean, good night. When we go to Knoebels, they could find their name on the keychains, you know. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord and his mother and mine. Salute that one, Phygelion, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, good night, and the brethren which were with them. Salute Philogus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. All right. Verse 21, Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salute you. And Cordus, a brother. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless now as I preach. Help me to get this message across. Help me to help your people, Lord. I love your people. You love your people. God, I pray you'd be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I tell you this afternoon, Paul had helpers into ministry. Paul had people he loved into ministry. Paul had people that helped him into ministry. The same Paul who could preach up a storm, the same Paul who could write and make little tornadoes come out of his pen when he wrote and told these people what's up, this same Paul could take the time to bless the saints. See, Paul had people who encouraged him. He had help writing his letters as he dictated. He got old, he would say, all right, write this down, and the fellow would write it down. Write this next, and the fellow would write that next. He had people who would then take those letters and deliver those letters to whoever he wanted them delivered to. He had people who gave him a place to stay. He had people who gave him work to earn money. He had laborers. Brother Matthew, he had yoke fellow. Paul the apostle had these helpers. Can I say this afternoon? How many of you know the Sarge? I love the Sarge. The Sarge gases the van. He cleans the van. He takes up the garbages. Sometimes he strips the floor downstairs, and he waxes the floor. Rose Armitage is here. Did you know Rose Armitage sometimes brings people into church for us? Did you know Brother Joe picks up people with his own car and brings them into church and then brings them home afterward? You know nobody says thank you for that from the pulpit? Do you know nobody says, hey, good job doing this? And good. Sometimes these are unseen, unheard ministries. The van drivers, Jesse, Jose, Becky, and Sarge, that bring you to church and bring you home. Do you know what time you got to leave? Let's say we have a service at 7 p.m. You got to leave sometimes 5:30 p.m. to get everybody and get them here for 7 p.m. Have you stopped to say thanks to these folks? Miss Becky drives the bus on Sundays. In a few minutes, she's going to drive everybody home. Miss Patty makes the Sunday bulletin. You had the bulletins. She makes those. Nobody knows. She, when the sermons are done, she takes the CD, she puts it in the computer, she uploads the CD to the internet so that when you scroll later on, you could find pastor's sermons on the internet. Brother Joe's team was here all day yesterday, almost probably 12 hours or more, fixing that men's room, putting that all together, tearing down walls, putting up new walls, and everything else in between. There are those that gas the church van. Wednesday night, we all write down our prayer requests and praises. What happens next? Miss Diane compiles them all, gets them to pastor, gets them to Miss Alicia so they could all end up in the prayer sheet for us. She keeps records of the door knocking on Thursday nights. Miss Diane does. Nobody knows. Nobody sees. God sees it. On Saturdays, you know, Miss Diane just lost her sister. Was that Friday? Friday, her sister passed away. You know where she was Saturday? Here at the church to get flyers and go visiting. You know where she was this morning? I met her at the church bus. She had a coffee for me. She said, here's your coffee, Brother Eric. In a little while, she said, how's that coffee, Brother Eric? I said, best coffee I had all day. I say that to her every week. You know why? Because every week she brings me a coffee. Every week. My friend Brother Matthew's here this afternoon. He runs a church bus. He teaches a Sunday school, oftentimes unseen. This morning I told my phone to text Jesse. You ever do that? Not text Jesse. Who'd want to do that? But I mean, you use your phone to text. So I'm driving the bus and I got on my little watch and I said, text Jesse to drain the oil before I get there. He changed the oil on the bus Tuesday. Then you get the oil all in this big giant thing that has wheels. Next, you need to turn on the little siphon thing and you got to pour it back into the bottles so that we could dispose of it. I wanted him to do that because we pick up some idiots sometimes. Did I say that out loud? Yeah. I would not be shocked if a kid opened the grate on that oil thing and jumped in. I would not be shocked. So to avoid that, I texted Jesse. I said, please empty the oil this morning before I get there. He calls me. He says, Brother Eric, I'm ready. What toilet do you want me to empty? I said, what toilet? What are you talking about? He said, you texted me to empty the toilet. I looked at my text, and sure enough, it says, Jesse, empty the toilet before I get there. So that's what happens when you talk to your phone. He told me, you know that porta potty out back that's not supposed to be there no more and they didn't pick it up yet? He told me he was ready to drain it. He said he didn't know how to drain it, but he was ready to drain the toilet. You know something, folks? There are servants of God who are ready. They are ready this morning to drain toilets for God if they're called on to do it. Let me help you out right now. We're having a great time. Behind the church, Jesse and Jose are watching all the kids. This is the ministry I'm talking about. Nobody knows. You just think they're not here. Where are they? They're watching all those kids we brought on the buses. They're throwing water balloons at each other. They probably ran out of water balloons, and they're probably just like, when's he going to be done? I'm trying, Brother Jesse. I'm going as fast as I can. You know what the average night service is for some of these men? I'm talking about Jose Valley. I'm talking about Ben. I'm talking about Luke. I'm talking about Jesse. They show up for night church. They see on the schedule they have children's night church. You know what that means? Instead of getting to sit here and listen to the preaching, they got to go downstairs and watch the kids and preach to them. And they don't complain. And God sees it. Folks, can I tell you, God sees your work. The Wonder Church preachers this morning, Brother Joe, after being here all day yesterday, had to go down and watch the kids and preach this morning. There are workers that go down there and help in Wonder Church. Brother Steve helps to make sure the trash is out every week. Nobody sees it. The Sarge does it sometimes too. Nobody sees it. Nobody's here. They come in here when nobody's here. They get all the garbage, especially after big days when it's all hot dog garbage. And they take it and they drag it all the way around the church and up to the front so that the folks can get it. No one sees it. God sees it. I'm preaching to you today the song of the servant. The Wonder Church preachers, the Wonder Church workers. Hey, somebody turned on the lights this morning. Somebody turns on the air conditioning so that it's cold. They don't show up at 11 when we show up. They show up at like 7 and turn on each of these air conditioners. Y'all are still in bed sometimes at 7. And it's Brother Steve comes across the street and turns on the air conditioners so that we're cold for the service. When it's cold out, he turns on the heat before the services. When everybody leaves, he turns off the air conditioners or turns off the heaters and turns off the lights and turns off the baptistry and locks the doors, and Miss Patty helps. My wife, I'd be here all day. She works in the office. She does the treasury. She calls to pay the church bills. She sets up the orders for supplies. She makes the necessary phone calls. She's on call 24/7 for pastors' needs. She plays the piano in between all of that for the services. She runs the social media. She helps in bus church. She oversees the weekly cleaning. I mean, there's a lot going on here behind the scenes, folks. There's sound booth workers. They're not here now. They got raptured. Nobody's back there. The sermon slideshows the pastor has up when he's preaching. Somebody puts those together, you know that? They don't just happen. He emails that to Bob or Alicia. And then they have to put every little word and every little sentence and every little verse and put it all together every Sunday, every Wednesday. Somebody does the snow removal. Miss Judy, I saw her doing the flower pots. You know those flowers you see when you come in the front and the back? I saw Miss Judy doing those. She didn't tell nobody. I don't know when that was, but she does them. You've been outside, you saw right now there's all this landscaping just got done. over here and over here. Brother Joe was here. Brother Steve was here when nobody else was here. And they planted trees. I think Algin was here to help. They put in all that stuff. We just come in, we look at it, we say, praise God, that looks good. Somebody did that. That's ministry, folks. Talking about the song of the servant this morning. Eddie Brent did it for years, you know that? We'd have new mulch out there, nobody would know, but Eddie would come on his free time. He'd put new mulch outside the church and not tell anybody. Eddie would come every time it snowed, he would bring a plow truck in here and plow all the snow for us for free. And the snow across the street for free. He did it for years and didn't tell nobody. Talking about the song of the servant. Paul says, I commend Phoebe. Paul says, good job, Timothy. Paul says, good job, Priscilla and Aquila. Paul says, good job, Andronicus and Junia, Amplius, Urbane, Erastus, Trophimus, Apelles, Herodian, Rufus, Tyrena, Tryphosa. Can I tell you something this afternoon? A healthy church has a team of people pulling together. A healthy church has unrecognized saints doing their part. It all happens, we don't see it, but it all goes together so we can have a great service. A healthy church, listen, often has too much work and not enough workers. A healthy church often has workers balancing many different ministries. There's no such thing as a bus driver that doesn't do anything else. No such thing as a van driver who's not also teaching a Sunday school or doing something else. Paul says, good job, Phoebe. Good job, Timothy. I'd like to say this afternoon, good job, bus drivers. Good job, van drivers. Good job, Sunday school teachers. Good job, whoever stapled the lessons together for the Sunday school lessons. Good job, whoever puts the lessons in your boxes. Good job, whoever typed and formatted the lessons. Good job, whoever printed the lessons. Good job, whoever turned the lights on. Good job, whoever turned on the air conditioner. Good job, whoever changes the light bulbs. Good job, whoever keeps the light bill paid. Good job, whoever made the coffee. Good job, whoever brought the snacks for Sunday school. Good job, whoever walked the church to take attendance in each and every class, each and every week. Good job, whoever invited you to church. Good job, whoever brought you to be baptized. Whoever ran the sound booth. Whoever recorded the sermons. Whoever uploaded the sermons to the website. Whoever keeps the website formatted. Whoever pays the bills for the website. Good job, whoever works the nursery. Good job, whoever cleans the nursery. Good job, whoever wrote the schedule for the nursery. Good job, whoever fills in when the scheduled person calls off. Good job, whoever changed the bus oil. Good job, whoever makes sure there's gas every week. Good job, whoever gives a ride to the drivers to get them from here to where the buses park. Good job, whoever preached Wonder Church. Good job, whoever planned the craft or coloring page for the little ones. Good job, whoever gave a cup of cold water, even in the name of a disciple. Good job, security folks who are keeping an eye on things. Good job, whoever stocks the toilet paper, whoever cleans the toilets, whoever makes sure there's hand soap, whoever stocks the paper towels. Good job, whoever washes and dries the baptistry robes. Good job, whoever cleans the baptistry. Good job, whoever mops the floors after baptisms. Good job, whoever does the dishes in the sink. Song of the servant. I want to give you real quick three things to remember when it seems like nobody notices your service. Number one, your ministry is important. 1 Corinthians 12:14, for the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Help me, folks. You know my friend Philip was there this morning to help on the bus? Did you know Philip was there Thursday night to go soul winning? You know he was there Saturday afternoon to help Miss Diane? Where's Dorothy? Dorothy's right on the front. You know she was here Thursday night to go soul winning? Huh? The church ain't one guy. The church ain't a couple of folks that are on staff. The church is a grand team of people doing so-called little jobs to keep this whole thing afloat. And God says, I see it. I hear you. We're all members of one body, one team. Listen to me, everybody can't preach. Everybody can't lead the songs. Everybody can't be a deacon. The team needs a coach, but it also needs a pitcher. The team needs somebody to design the jerseys. The team needs someone to put away the equipment. The team needs people to step up to bat. The team needs someone to play the outfield. I was on baseball for 5 years when I was a kid. I was no good. Every time they gave me a position, it was, put him in left field. And I was out in left field. I played from about 5 years old to 10 years old, and I remember this greatly. I did not pay attention. That's why they put me in the outfield. I did not play good. That's why I was in the outfield. I would pick up flowers. I'd be out there in the grass. Somebody's up to bat, and I'd be like, and I'd hear my dad on the sidelines, "Eric, pay attention. Put down the flower." One day, I was bored out in the outfield. I had my glove on my left hand, and I went like this. And I caught a ball. I was not paying attention. Yeah, you better clap. That was some good stuff, man. Good night. I should have went pro! Just kidding. I caught a ball on accident. I'm just standing there. I caught the ball. Can I tell you something, folks? We need people in the left field. We need somebody to pour water for the players. You're important. See, I'm not the pastor. He can't do it all. See, I'm not a deacon. They can't do it all. You have no idea how much the deacon's wives do. You have no idea how much the sarge does. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. We said, number one, your ministry is important. Number two, God will personally reward you someday. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Nobody sees my work. Nobody appreciates me. Oh, God wants to put his hand on your shoulder and say, "It's all right, I see it. Don't complain, don't cry out. I see it, I'll reward you." He sees the sweat. He sees the toil. He sees the tears. He sees when you work and the air conditioners aren't on. He sees when you mop. He sees when you clean. Number three. We said, number one, your ministry is important. Number two, God will personally reward you someday. Now, let's not relax. Number three, there's still more to be done. As much as I appreciate you all and the work you did, there's a world to be won. There's a devil to be shunned. There's a ministry, folks. There's a cause. There's a Miss Alicia at the back saying, "Hurry up, we're ready to go." There's a life lived for Christ. Keep it up. Working the nursery, cleaning the church, driving the bus, driving the van, singing with the bus kids, knocking the doors, running the bus, helping on the bus, picking up the hymn books, cleaning the windows. God sees you. He'll reward you. Your ministry's important. There's more time and there's more work to be done. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm preaching to the forgotten.